Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am so excited about my show. Anyway, welcome to episode 4, actually, of Looking for My Give a Fuck, hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd, with a whole bunch of degrees after that. That doesn't really matter, right, when it's all ego-based. Yep, I told you I was going to be on one today, and I'm so excited. Got a couple of announcements to make before I do that. Number one, I just want to say to all you souls out there working it out, keep working it out. And boy, today's show is going to be much different than the past 3 shows, because I'm going to tell stories about situations that had me look into why I react a certain way, and I have some good stories about that. Anyway, I also want to announce that, although my brother doesn't know this, I am going to have him do an amazing opening for me, you know, with the music and all that good stuff. I want to apologize in advance. My dog is being really spoiled. I'm not understanding this, so I would hate to have to whip him on the air. Mind you, when I do whip him, it's on the nose. I don't beat him. Anyway, back to what I was saying about the music opening. I'm looking forward to my brother creating something really, really good, like he did for the other shows I've been a part of. And I just haven't shared the vibe with him yet, but I think I kind of know how I want this show to open and close. I also want to announce that I'm working on an app, believe it or not, but it's a fun app. It's basically just a journal to living your give a fuck. Now, I like that. I do have some actual physical journals being printed. My mom loves to write in journals. I'm learning to write in journals, and I really do think that the pen and the pen, pencil, and the pad, whatever, there's a connection. But a lot of us don't necessarily walk around with little journals, although I'm creating those. So I do have some physical small versions of these journals that I will be offering for free. All I would need is for you guys just to send me an address. They're really small. They're kind of like promo type, so they won't be of great quality initially, but just something if you want to just, if you're not an app person kind of like me and you don't want to use the app. But I'm creating an app. It is going to be so simple. The app is you click on paper, date, and you type. Or you do whatever, you draw. It's going to be very, very simple. And for all those that want to create their own apps, I can tell you right now, it's not a difficult process. If you have a simple vision, my simple vision is giving people an opportunity to any and all days wake up and one moment, hold on one second. I do apologize. Oh, I'm trying to get someone to watch the dog. It's not working. Okay. Anyway, if you want to create an app, it's not difficult. I can give a link to a company I'm working with if you need that. Okay. Woo. Like I said, I'm excited about the show. So we did talk about Dirk opening. We did talk about the app, and we did talk about the hard copy journal. Family, that's in our group chat. Send me addresses, or I can send a bunch to each, you know, family member in different states. I could just send a whole lot of them and you guys can share them amongst the family. Anyone else, like I said, just go ahead and send me an email. I think I'm able to put it on Amazon or something like that for free. I'll handle that. As for the app will be free also. Why am I doing this for free? Well, first of all, people don't accept good information if it's free, right? But then again, they won't even accept it if they pay for it. So I'm not going to do all that. The thing is, this is also helping me. So I have my own journal and I have my own app, and it's going to help me, because if it helps me and I help one person, it kind of triggers. It triggers a happening where people will help people, people help people. I never understood that concept. Something one, treat one, be good one, I don't know. There's a saying. Because I always believed you had to help in the masses. But ultimately, what I'm saying now is I am giving what I'm learning. And hopefully it resonates with a lot of people, or just one, me. Okay? So this is the most profound set of sharing that is also selfish. So again, I don't need the likes. I don't need this. I don't need any of that. All I need is for people to take into consideration some of these things that I'm sharing. Look into it yourself. And if this doesn't work for you, to better yourself. A lot of us, as we get older and who are lucky enough to live long enough to realize there needs to be some adjustments in our lives, this is just a form I've picked. Find something. But what I have found that's out there, there's a whole lot of talking and not a lot of trigger of action. And so I'm offering triggers and actions and things of that nature. And I'm still very new to the true of self. I'm very, very new to, as you know, this show is, you know what? Let me check something. I apologize. Okay, wanted to make sure I was still in the air. This show is based on Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose. I believe that's it. If that's not it, I just did that off the top of my head. Oh, Inspired by the Power of Now. It's A New Earth. It's called The New Earth. So he does have a book, The Power of Now, and the book that I'm basing the foundation of my show is on A New Earth. And we talked about that, and it really talks about looking at your automatic actions and working with, how did you become that, quote-unquote, like my mother calls me, the motor mouth? Or how did you have that automatic reaction? Kind of look at it, observing it. You can go into it. A lot of times you will find that there's no special point in time that you became that person. It all started from probably birth. I have an example. Like I said, today's show is going to be about examples. So I want to start off with, unless I'm talking about me, everything else is fiction. I had to say that for a reason. So thinking about where we get our thought processes or our automatic doings of things, and I know I'm making up words and phrases, and I apologize about that. But that's where I'm at today. Anyway, before I did the show, my last show, every Sunday I would cook something because I would be hungry, and all my family knows I can hear them laughing now. Yes, cook something. And no, it wouldn't be that good, but it would just be something that would get me through the other show's hour and a half. So this morning, I did two things. I was really hungry for some maple syrup sausages. I don't know where that came from, and a muffin. So I went down to our local store, and I realized it was crowded, but I figured I only had five things, so I'd get in and out. Well, this is where what I'm sharing with you turns into life experience. I have five things in my hand, and I'm in this line. I chose this particular line because it had fewer people. But as I stood in that line very patiently, again, observation is what I'm really working on, knowing, oh, by the way, you guys, I went down to the store at 10 o'clock. The show starts at 11. Yeah. I got out of the store at 10:20. And wait, I got home and made the sausage. But there's two things here. So there were these people in front of me, about two baskets in front of me. And if you guys, I'm not really keen on the grocery store. I could do without it, but I had to go. And this particular grocery store, you bag your own groceries, which could be something that goes on everywhere. I am not sure. However, it's usually this custom to where you put your groceries on the conveyor belt or whatever, the cashier kind of rings it and then throws it off to the left or the right, depending on what aisle is open, for you to take your basket to go to the end of the register and bag. The key thing is moving your basket down, because usually you have to put all your groceries out of the basket and put it on the conveyor belt, and then you push. Well, for some reason, the two people that were in front of me, they decided to bag their groceries right at the register part of it. You know, it's hard to explain, but they didn't push their baskets down to the end, so a new person put their, you know, groceries on the conveyor belt, and so it kind of unnecessarily backed us up. And you know, I'm trying to get out because I have a show to do in less than an hour at that time, or 45 minutes. And when so one person did it, I looked up and thought, what a jerk. They know that people, you know, the lines are long. Why are they being so jerkish? And I thought to myself, let me just chill out. because I could go run in line, find somewhere else to go, and just get myself all caught up. But then I came back to same thought when these people behind them did the same thing. Now, the difference between the people in front of them and the people behind them that did the same thing, the ones that were behind them, I took a closer look at them because they were, you know, right behind me, in front of me, excuse me, and they were from, you know, they weren't from this country. One thing I noticed, there were like three or four guys, and, you know, now that I do know the truth about it, you know, they looked a little like this was a new thing to them. So they did exactly what the person in front of them did. In other words, they slowed, the basket was in, you know, they made it to where they moved the basket to the end of the register, and so therefore I can't put my product on the, you know, my groceries on the conveyor belt, so I'm just sitting here going, what the fuck? Now I'm going, what the fuck? Right? And I'm like, is the world selfish? Is the world selfish? Why are they doing this to me, of course? Okay. I got through, and yes, they absolutely bagged their stuff right at where the cashier was presenting their groceries and didn't push it down. So in other words, I had to wait an extra 5 minutes. Well, all I'm thinking is I have to hurry and get home because I have to do this show. Anyway, moving forward. I was getting, I was right behind them, so I only had like four things, so they were still putting things in their car when I got to the parking lot. And I heard one of the young men simply say, wow, that was the first time we ever did that. And it hit me. Here I go, getting all upset about something, right? But it hit me. They've probably never been to a store where you have to bag your own groceries in the States. Probably not. I don't know. I cannot judge. However, they were mimicking the person in front of them. Now, the person in front of them, probably the same situation. Why am I bringing this up? Because immediately, what came to mind? Remember, this whole book is about your thought process. This whole show is about your thought process. What came to mind immediately? I call them selfish jerks, right? But then, was forced to, because I had to wait in line, was to step back and look at it from another point of view. And the other point of view simply was that this was the first time they'd probably been in the store, for sure, the ones in the runs right in front of me. I'm not sure about the people in front of them. And they were mimicking. Now, again, so why is that important? And what does it have to do with this show, right? Well, it's important because it really hit me that I was... All the judgment about these people came from an observation that came from my mind, right? They're jerks. I didn't take into consideration until after confirmation that they weren't jerks, that I had a preconceived notion. That's what this is about. Where did that come from? You know, I'm not sure about the store process or what made me think they were jerks. Maybe because I wanted to get home and do the show, whatever the case may be, but those knee-jerk reactions are what tend to cause us to, what does this book say exactly? I'm like four screens open, and I apologize. But remember that ego thing? Oh, my God, they're jerks. Where did that come from? Why am I not a jerk? Why am I not a jerk waiting 45 minutes to go to the store to make food to be on the air at 11 o'clock? Maybe I'm the jerk, right? But no, they're the jerk. So this whole ego attachment that I had thinking about their actions was creating, and it does create, right, anger, jealousy, unhappiness, or stress, or whatever the case may be, until I slowed it down, until I got confirmation those people had never been to the store. Wow. So when we are observing, even when we don't realize we're observing, if you step out of yourself, and I stepped out of myself very late, like I said, I stepped out of myself to find out were these guys really jerks inadvertently because I walked past them as they were still putting groceries in the car. And to be perfectly honest, it looked like they didn't even know how to open the trunk. I mean, it was so funny on what things they were doing. Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing is I got home, and I started making the sausage, maple syrup. It's not that hard, right? And regular sausage, just in case my mom and my mom's friend who's here didn't like the maple. And I'm starting to cook, and then all of a sudden, here's number two. I remember my mom, anytime I go into the kitchen, let's just say this, and I have a family that can cook. I still can see my cousin Yvonne. I'll never forget it. She had every pot in the damn kitchen boiling, steaming, and had a cake going one morning. I was like, who does that? I mean, I could have fell in love with her, right, when it was about food. I mean, it was the most beautiful, bizarre thing I've ever seen. I mean, everything was hot and everything was going, and I was just, wow. My cousin Lee J and Ansa Anna, all of them, Kurska, everyone can cook. Even my brother Dirk can cook. I think my brother Jay, I think he cooks. And Louis, Tiffany. Of course I can. Now, Mother would always say, you need to learn how to cook. I have tried to cook just for the family. I've tried to cook. I have sliced my hands more than a little bit, and I don't like cooking, and I don't want to be in the kitchen. But what does that bring to mind? As I am making the sausages this morning, I was nervous, like, are they fully cooked? Do I know what I'm doing? Am I cleaning the kitchen at the same time, right? And I stopped, and I said, where did that come from? My mom, my family saying, you must know how to cook to get a man or this or that. And suddenly, I went from ego judgment to coming home to cook to insecurity and fear. Are they going to like the sausages? Am I squeezing the oil out? Thinking about my cousin Yvonne who said, did you just put oil in a non-stick oil pan? Oh, my God. I tried to cook breakfast for her. Anyway, I got real nervous. And I said, wow. See, so when you start putting into practice where these default reactions or emotions stem from, I didn't have time to, you know, change how I felt about that moment. But I did have time to write it down, say, maybe I'll talk about this on my show. So you know what the first thing I did? I shifted my thought process, and I said, who am I making the sausage for? Me. And that issue regarding I should cook or not cook, if I'm 56 years old and still not cooking because I don't want to, and there are great restaurants out here, why is that still haunting me? What does that mean? Well, it means I'm looking for approval. And as a result of looking for approval, that moment triggers something in the ego. Okay, so I'll deal with that. It's bits and pieces, but it did do this. I grew up Del Mar sausage, whether it's right or wrong, right? I thought that was funny. Okay, one more example of how this works. On Friday, I get two more. I think the last one is really important for all of us. So Friday, I'm actually at, I wanted some pizza. I was having a craving for thin crust pizza. I just really, really had to have it. So there's a place in my neighborhood. I go in there and I walk in, and there's really no uniform way to order or not order. You're just kind of like looking around, observing who's next, what's next. But in my community, people don't look you in the eye. They don't even like you if you are not of the same color. And you can best believe this particular time, I was amongst people that were not black. Okay. And the others were minorities, so it wasn't like white folks. I'd put that out there, too. And I walk in, and because I'm very observant, I kind of looked around and realized, okay, let me try to figure out where to order and what to do. So after talking to three different people, the best that I possibly could, I figured out how to order. I mean, you had people ordering, picking up, doing this, and it's a very small little joint. So I order. I come back 15 minutes later. Same situation. Looks a little chaotic. Everyone's staring at you like, bitch, where are you getting ready to go? You ain't going to take no cuts. So I thought, I've seen this before earlier. I'll go over to the right here with my little receipt, and I'll give it to the guy, and everything would be good. Well, I got cussed out three times. Excuse me. Excluded me. By that time, they were black. Everyone in there, and I'm like, wait. And so the guy at the register said, no, she's picking up. She's doing what we've asked her to do. And they were still like, girl, because I was going to say, you can't take no cuts. You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, because I have observed the situation earlier, I knew that someone was going to tell me what to do. But this time when I came in, I guess they were really hungry, really mean. And so I had a group of people telling me what to do. So, again, the ego, if I had been in my mood of ego, I'd been like, what the fuck am I talking about? No. I'd have gone there and it would have been all bad, okay, all bad. I'd have talked lots of shit and left, of course. But this time the guy saved me because I didn't get an opportunity because I was observing to where my mouth wasn't running like it usually does. I was really like, this is bad. I'm about to have, it's about to be like 18 people on me, right? Then after that, I sat back and I observed everyone else. And everyone was so afraid that someone was going to take cuts in front of them or they were going to miss out on something that Friday night picking up a pizza, it turned out to be, for most, including myself, a stressful thing. Not me. I was just kind of observing it. And I thought to myself, why doesn't this little company do something about this? I mean, it could be easy just kind of like have a line here. It could be real easy. And then I realized to myself, because they don't want to. They absolutely just don't want to. The chaos is probably a part of their marketing. So, again, normally I'd have been like, who's telling me what to do? Why, when, or there? It ain't no goddamn signs. Because this was my second time around in that place, it saved me from going there, and I observed. So, again, it gave me an opportunity to look at how was I feeling when these people were yelling at me. The default was getting defensive and crazy. But again, because it was my second time back in that place, I didn't go there. And why I'm sharing that with you, it seems like everyone is telling everyone what to do and how to do it. And their tone is a little different these days. It's not as courteous as it could be. And the thing is, it's a Friday at 6 o'clock picking up pizza. You can best believe mothers are stressed, fathers are stressed, the whole world is stressed trying to get some pizza. Pizza because we need carbs, and you never know when that one person's going to be like, I'll just shoot up everybody up in here. So that was just an observation as to, and I was cool, but if I hadn't gone the first initial to order and come back, everyone yelling at me would have triggered a bad situation. So kind of, you know, keep that in mind that every time you go into a situation, even though it might be the first time. This time, like I said, I'm going to emphasize, it was my second time. That was the only reason I was calm the second time around. But if I could stay calm in all situations like that, I would be a better person because I do have a mouth. And when I'm stressed or whatever, I will take it out on, you know, the man that created the world. And I know that's bad. People say, oh, don't say anything about God. I'm not saying anything about him. But sometimes I've been in a mood to where if he's in the way, he getting cursed too. That's between me and him though, right? Okay, so I'm just sharing how this book kind of is helping me because even after the show, I can sit back and observe and make some better choices about things. Or how come I have a default emotion about X, Y, Z and come up with something that's going to help me through that. Again, we talk about beautiful quotes. We talk about this. We talk about that. People tell you, just do it, find yourself, do this and that. But, you know, you don't realize you're lost. How can you find something you don't even know that it's lost? But yet, even when you're looking for something that claims to be lost, you don't know what you're looking for. And so it gets back to, huh? That's why I like to give my little examples. And maybe this resonates with some or not with others. I don't know. But all day long, when you find yourself motor mouthing, good or bad. Sometimes good motor mouthing, you're like, why did I say that? So that wasn't a good thing. You know, why did I react like that? Why did I get mad when that person got in front of me? You have the right to get mad in California with the traffic and the way people are driving. We all have that right. But it's when you get to the point to where you want to run their car up their ass, right, that it's more than just the traffic. In fact, I think you should listen to this book, A New Earth, or my show, when you're in traffic, because then you'll laugh. Okay. I have 6 minutes left, and I need, this is a professional tip here. And this is what I'm about to share, there's no names attached, just a lesson at hand. If you have a business, hold on, let me get a sip of my coffee. Hold on. Acting like Wendy Williams, huh?
Okay, then.
Anyway, if you have a business and you have created the business, it's a small business, and you have created it to where everything revolves around you, meaning any and all information, I'll use the small law firm, any and all ways in which you pre-lit a case, litigate a case, settlements, any and all things, if you are the only person that can sign off, agree to, or talk to, defense counsel, however you set it up, then you set yourself up for a situation that could be unhealthy, not necessarily to you because you are micromanaging, but to your staffers.
and ultimately to your clients. I have had for the past week a situation where I have spoken to about 4 or 5 people that are looking for things that are rightfully theirs, such as settlements or payments. I mean, righteously belong to them, righteously, no gains, righteously. Just sitting up in a trust account because the way this person created his office, only he can settle and do XYZ, and he has some heavy shit on his own personal plate that doesn't allow him to be 100% when it comes to anything outside of his personal legal issues. And that's within itself. But every person who called and I spoke with, who have been told for 2 months, one person year and a half, oh, I got your money, I'll get it to you, but called me bitching, well, you know, what do I do? You know, I should take him to the bar, but I'm afraid. Okay. What? Okay. Others are clients. Clients that have been told, oh, you're number one, I'm going to get you, but 2 months later, 2 weeks later, afraid to ask for their money. I happened to speak to a particular client that explained to me, you know, it's embarrassing asking for what's owed to me. Now, we can get into that. That'll be a great show next week. A doctor, it's embarrassing to ask what's owed to me. Why is it embarrassing? It's like you're begging, right? Maybe. I don't know. We're going to talk about next week and subscribe it. But look at that. Look at how whatever we're talking, doctors, clients, other lawyers, we're talking all these people are afraid to ask for monies that belong to them and that were promised to them. But call me and ask me every day, well, what do you think I should do? Well, I'm going to help everybody out with my 2.5 minutes here. Let me tell you how you do business in the legal profession. If you are a vendor and a lawyer does not pay you after 1, 2, 3 notifications along with some follow-up emails, 1 warning letter, that should all be done within 3 weeks, you file a complaint with the state bar or you go to small claims court, period. I knew one attorney, I think it was a nurse vendor. When one attorney didn't pay her, she was so quick to sue them, but she was good at what she did. So when they didn't pay her or when they negotiated her down and still didn't pay her, she said, well, no, you're not going to do that to me. And she took them straight to court. And let me tell you, this very day, she got no problems with the attorney she works for. Her work is still stellar. She's a nurse, like I said. She's like a legal nurse. We send her on our appointments with our clients that have to go to DMEs or, you know, physical examinations ordered by the other side. She taught me that. So I told this doctor, I said, hey, look, if he owes you money soon, well, I don't know. It's been a year and he owes you $2,000. You're talking to me. That's really ridiculous. I told a client, he owes you almost $20,000. Yeah, because your money, you're selling a portion, right? Yeah. And you were asking me, should you come in if he didn't get back to you last week, but you're on calendar and you're afraid. Sorry about that. And you're afraid he might not be available. Then you need to make yourself available. What I'm saying is this. Why do we have triggers that we are embarrassed? And again, it's not black, white, or green. I've dealt with everyone. We are embarrassed to ask for our money. Or we are embarrassed to ask for what is righteously ours. I can tell you one thing. Every Friday, I give my brother a couple dollars for watching my... Not once have he had to ask when it was going to be there. That's what we should get to, and that's what we should be accustomed to, but we're not. So let's talk about that next week. What trigger is causing us to even be afraid because a narcissistic attorney set up an office that he can only monitor everything, and he's only one man, but everyone else is suffering and feels bad about asking for their money? Let's see what's going on with that. Because maybe that has something to do with our own self-esteem. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it is 26 seconds. I love the show today. Oh, I love when I talk about crazy me, but I love me. Anyway, I think it is time for me to say goodbye. I have 10 seconds, so I will say goodbye. Until next week, I'm signing off and reminding you to make good memories. And you know what? Love yourself. Have a good day, afternoon, evening, all that other good stuff. Bye.